You know, you think about those tough times in your life, you think about those tears you've cried, you think about the pain that you've been through, and you think, nobody knows what I'm going through. But somebody does, and it's God. And I thought about in the song how it says, you know, just turn around, I'll be there. I'm moving into your atmosphere. And that's what God does for us. He's so awesome. He's so loving. And we don't even deserve any of the goodness or the grace and the mercy that he extends to us, and yet he does it anyway. It still is pretty wild for me to get up and give my testimony, but for me it's an exciting time, and it has a very happy ending to a story that didn't necessarily start out that way. You know, I think for what I went through personally in my life, a lot of it was emotion. It was, you know, a lot of us tend to react based on emotion. We tend to react, and because of our emotion, we develop certain attitudes. And when I was reading through, oddly enough, as somebody who was voted most emotional in her graduating class, Managing Your Emotions Instead of Your Emotions Managing You by Joyce Meyer, I could barely get through the first chapter, and it's when she talks about her emotions, and she says, I found that if I depend upon my flesh through sheer willpower or determination alone, I will fail every time. But if I am determined to resist temptation by calling on the power of the Holy Spirit, I find the strength I need for success. You know, God isn't going to do everything for us in this life. We can't just find someone to lay hands on us and pray for us to be set free from all our bondages. There is a part that we must play with our minds and wills, and it takes a combination of faith and action. And then one of the other things that I started thinking about was, okay, so we're dealing with the emotional aspect here, which really comes to our attitude. And many of you may have heard this before, but I want to read it because I think it's so important to keep this in mind and to really keep our lives in perspective. This is Charles Swindoll, and it's the attitude, I guess not a poem, but a phrase that he wrote at one point. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we'll embrace. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The one thing we can do is play on the string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that 10% of what happens to me, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. Boy, I didn't react to life very well for a really long time. And between my emotions and my attitude, I got myself into a whole lot of trouble. But then comes that loving grace, that mercy, that presence of God in your life that can just do miracles. And that's what I'm here to tell you about tonight. Everybody doing all right tonight? I'm so glad to have all of you here. Thank you so much for coming. I'm excited to share my testimony. Still get a little nervous. You know, I usually get to hide behind that microphone every morning. But I'm not as used to getting up in front of people. And some of the things that I'm going to share with you tonight are very graphic, are very personal, but it all gives glory to God in the end. And to me, that's what's important. I want to encourage you guys tonight. I want to encourage you to live life to the fullest with all of the excitement and zeal and vigor and just awesomeness that God has waiting for you. And I want to invite you to take God, if you have him in a box, let him out. He does a whole lot better when you just give him room to move, because he's moving into your atmosphere, even right now. You know, when things started out in my life, my mom was married in 1961 to my dad, and she was pregnant, so they had to get married. And things didn't go well. When I was 6 months old, my dad left my mom and I, and she moved back in with her parents for a while. And then she quickly remarried because it just wasn't a popular thing to be a single parent in the 60s. And so she remarried quickly. And in order to, I guess, preserve presence or whatever so that I wouldn't know, they had me adopted to her second husband's name. And my birth certificate was changed, and I grew up thinking that this man was my father. And shortly after they got married, my sister was born. And as we grew up, unfortunately, we grew up in just a very abusive, alcoholic environment. And there were arguments all the time, and there were fights. And I remember growing up, and I, even as an adult, somebody, you know, when I was in therapy at some point, and somebody asked me, well, when did you first started noticing stress in your life? And I said, when I was about five. You know, it was a tough go. I pray so much for this man at this point, and hope that someday I can see him again and let him know that I've been praying for him, and let him know that there's no hard feelings, and that I really hope that he has a relationship with Christ, or that he can feel the forgiveness. I'm not quite sure what I'll say when God has me meet back up with him, but I know that during the time that I was growing up, it was a very fear-based home. I mean, any of you that may have grown up in an abusive situation, the alcohol, and there were beatings, and one of my most vivid memories is of the year when my mom was going through her second divorce, and my sister and I were in the house. And we were decorating the Christmas tree, which they would be over here, and then a hallway that led down to the bathroom that my mom was standing in. They were separated, and the divorce was in progress, and he was going to take us for the evening. And I had become kind of a protector early in life. You know, when I think that you just automatically, you know, I would look out for my sister. I would always try to protect my mom when she was getting beat. And on this evening, I just felt like something was really wrong. And so as I kept decorating the tree, I kept running over and looking down the hallway. And at one point, I noticed that he came down the hallway and went into what used to be their bedroom and walked quickly back down the hallway. And as I went over the next time to peek and see what was going on, I noticed that he was holding a gun to my mom's head. And he told her that if she said another word, he was going to blow her head off. And so I ran over there and said, you know, Dad, don't. And I'm not quite sure what happened next. All I remember is the gun going off. He was at the back door, and he had shot himself in our home with myself and my 7-year-old sister in the house. And everybody, you know, my mom panicked, and she was screaming. And I said, it's okay, I'll take care of it. And I got on the phone, and I called the police, and I got the ambulance there. And he lived, but they did end up, you know, following through with their divorce. And at that point, I didn't want to be in contact with him anymore. It wasn't that I had any ill feelings toward him, but I didn't want to be in an abusive situation. I was 9 years old. You know, I just wanted to be in a family that was normal, where there was love, that we did normal family stuff, where we didn't have all of this baggage that it seemed like we were always trying to hide. And it was during the divorce that my mom had packed up some of our things, and I found a box, and I found a baby book. And in the baby book, it said Ronnie Joe France, which I couldn't quite figure out because my last name was Gephardt. And I remember coming out and asking my mom, and we were Catholic, we were raised Catholic, and under the father it said, and it gave the gentleman's name, Mr. France, and so I came out and I said, well, Mom, why do they have the priest's name down as my father? My name isn't France, it's Gephardt. And she just lost it again, and I'm so sorry, and you're adopted, and blah, 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 and now we're going through all of this. And so now I'm really going, wow, okay, I just would really like a dad. You know, I mean, two chances, one One down, two down. Am I going to get another shot at this? You know, I once again hoping for that normal family environment. And so we moved in with my grandmother for a while, who, by the way, was the light of my life. I mean, she was the most wonderful woman. She was so vibrant and full of joy. I think that in the first part of my life, when I was going through so many difficult times, she was like one person that I could always depend on to bring me happiness, and it was just awesome to be able to spend time with her. So we lived with her for a while, and then my mom became engaged and was going into marriage number three. Now, let me also say that between my mother and my biological father, there are 8 marriages. Not a very good record, right? So she's going on to marriage number 3 at this point, and she gets married, and they have my brother, so now there's 3 of us. But